Psalm 136, starting in verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks unto the God of gods.
For his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him alone doeth great wonders.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that made great lights.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To the sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which smote great kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And Og, the king of Bashan.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for inheritance.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Even inheritance unto Israel his servant.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For his mercy.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh.
For his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks unto the God of heaven.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house tonight, Lord. Pray now that you guide and direct as we take a look in your word. Pray that you'd help us in rightly dividing the things of your word tonight. Pray that you'd help us in understanding the things that you have for us, Lord. We just pray all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. So now, this psalm and the way we read it is the way it was done and or sung in Israel in the tabernacle in the temple when they would go over this passage. It was meant to be a responsive reading or a responsive song, an echoey song, right? And each of these 26 verses that we read, as you well now know, ends with, for his mercy endureth forever. So the question that comes to my mind then is, why would the Lord need to repeat something 26 times in 26 verses? Right? Why would he need to repeat it that often? And that's just in this chapter, right? 26 times in 26 verses. And it's because we forget. It's because we forget. Here we have presumably King David writing this psalm to the people of Israel, right? The psalm, as I just mentioned, is sung, it's studied in the tabernacle, in the temple, to a people whose history is intertwined with the Lord and his workings, right? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 3. And they're intertwined, but yet in just a short while, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20, just a short time historically, we find out that the people of Israel forget the Lord their God. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord of their God. Turn just a couple more chapters over to Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13, verse 25. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord. Because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 12 says, "In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord." And one more, Ezekiel 23, verse 35. Ezekiel 23, verse 35, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms." Right? It's a shame, really, that the people of Israel, whose history is so intertwined, being called out of Egypt and all that, and we'll see that in a little bit, that they were quick to forget the Lord their God. And yet we today have that exact same problem. We often forget the Lord our God. Even we have to put it, right, etched in there. "This do in remembrance of me." Well, why? Because we forget, right? Okay. So go back to Psalm 136. We're going to start with the last half of the verse and take a look at what the Lord is saying when he states that his mercy endureth forever. So the first word that we're going to take a look at is his, right? It starts off in verse 1, mentioning who we're giving thanks to and that it is the Lord, it's the God of gods, etc. But the focus is on him, and then he is claiming that the mercy is his and his alone. No other. His mercy endureth forever. Well, the next important word we're going to look at is forever. That's a long time, right? And his mercy lasts that long, just like his judgments do. Take a look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 160. Psalm 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Every one of his judgments endures forever. Psalm 117, verse 2. Psalm 117, verse 2. "For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Turn to Psalm 135. So in Psalm 136, we have his mercy enduring forever. In Psalm 119, we have his judgments enduring forever. In Psalm 117, we have his truth enduring forever. In Psalm 135, verse 13, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." And was as was read tonight in 1 Peter 1:25, his word endureth forever. So these same things, his word, his name, his truth, his judgments, and his mercy are all in this same pile of things that endure forever. Okay, so what does it mean then to endure? To endure means to withstand or persist through hardship or trials without change. Okay? To remain firm or resolute despite adversity. Now, these trials and hardships that come, that's not on the Lord's side. The Lord is not experiencing trials and hardships. The Lord is not experiencing adversity. Him. We are the trials. We are the adversity that he has to deal with. And he continues to show himself merciful despite who we are. One of the last definitions of endureth is to last over time without exhaustion. So here we have the Lord and his mercy lasting over time, thousands of years, and into eternity without exhaustion, despite the people he has to deal with and the things that they do and their likelihood to forget him, right? So that's what's going on here. So now, it's his mercy, it's his alone, it endures forever, and it withstands over time without exhaustion. So now, what exactly is this mercy? The mercy is a blending of compassion and forgiveness with an act of kindness, okay? Oftentimes you could say it's preventing something unpleasant, but it's more than that, right? It's providing relief or blessing when you have the power or right to punish or do harm. Parents can understand this concept, or if you remember back to when you were a kid and your parent had the right, had the power to punish you for something you've done and they chose not to, but rather provided some sort of blessing or relief. That's what's going on here. That's what the Lord is doing. And his mercy endures forever. Okay? And this is shown as we start off in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Even in verse 26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. So here we have these first three verses and then the very last verse pointing out his position, pointing out his power, pointing out his authority, pointing out his rank, whatever you want to call it there, as being above all. And then with that, in verse 4, we have to him who alone doeth great wonders. There's nobody that is on the level as our Lord. He is above all in the position, the power, the authority, the rank, whatever you want to call it. He is above all. All right. And then at the end, at the beginning of these three verses, it starts off telling us we should be giving thanks. We should be giving him thanks. Not just because of who he is, although that would be enough, but then because his mercy endures forever. All right, these things all circle back together. We should be thanking him for his acts of mercy that are towards us. So now as we look at the rest of the chapter, these other verses, they start off with an act of his power, all right? So as we look, before we get there, the first word then that is in that second phrase is the word for, right? For his mercy endureth forever. The first word introduces the reason or the justification as to the preceding statement, right? As to why we should be thanking God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, for who he is. And as we go into these rest of these things, that word for is what's linking his mercy to the act that is described in the first part of the verse, all right? So as we look at verses 5 through 9, we'll see that they speak of creation, okay? So this word and the use of the word for means that every act of God in this case, creation that we're going to look at, is an expression of his mercy. Not just his power, not just his wisdom, as we'll see, not just his sovereignty, but actually his merciful intention towards us, okay? So let's take a look at verse 5 through 9. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. I'll skip to verse 6. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. Skipping to verse 7. To him that made great lights. Skip to verse 8. The sun to rule by day. And verse 9. The moon and stars to rule by night. Right? Each of these acts is an intentional act of mercy by the Lord, right? And it's not something that we would typically think of as Him being merciful towards us. But if we look at it, what if the Lord didn't make the world with wisdom? What a mess we would be living in. What if He didn't put the earth above the waters? Right? What if He didn't give us the great lights? What if we don't have the sun? What if we don't have the moon? What if we don't have the stars? But He wants you to think of these things as His mercy towards us. Okay? And what we can even do is if we change the order of the words of the verse, right? We can look at it in verse 5 as saying, because His mercy endureth forever, He used wisdom to make the heavens, and we should thank Him for it. Now, obviously, that is not King James. That was my, you twist that, and that's in effect what it's saying. Because of His mercy, He did this, and we should thank Him for it, right? Same thing for verse 6. Because His mercy endureth forever, He made the earth above the waters, and we should thank Him for it. Verse 7. Because His mercy endureth forever, He made great lights, and we should thank Him for it. Because His mercy endureth forever, He made the sun to rule the day, and we should thank Him for it. Verse 9, because His mercy endureth forever, the moon and stars rule the night, and we should be thanking Him for it, right? Now, these may, like I said, this is an interesting chapter to me because this is one that you know what the second half of the verse says. And if you're lazy, you just read the first part of the verse because you know what the second part says. And you can say, I've done my chapter, and you can move on. But one of the last times through just reading it, it dawned on me that the word for, it was there for a purpose, right? Which is surprising because all the words are there for a purpose, but sometimes we just don't get it, right? That word for is there for a purpose. These acts are His mercy. And we don't often correctly see the things that the Lord does in our life as mercy. And that's what He's trying to get across to us here. These may seem like unexpected acts of mercy, but the Lord has merciful intention, I mean, done on purpose, just in the act of creation. And because of that, we now have the general revelation of God to man. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So much so that Romans tells us that mankind is without excuse. Romans chapter 1. We'll start in verse 15. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, And it goes on from there, right? So Romans chapter 1, we got that general revelation of God to man. And how's it done? It's done through creation. And what happened? They weren't thankful. What does Psalms remind us of? Well, what did the Lord do for us in creation? That's His mercy towards us, Him showing Himself to us as merciful, and we should be thanking Him for it. Right. Turn back to Psalm 136. We'll take a look at verses 10 through 22. Verses 10 through 22. To Him, and I'll skip the "for His mercy endureth forever" parts for these. Verse 10, to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to Him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to Him which led His people through the wilderness, to Him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land for inheritage, even inheritage unto Israel, His servant. These verses, right, we go from creation to the Exodus and their deliverance from Pharaoh and his armies, and then even right before they go into the land of Canaan, right? And that whole time, all these acts, merciful intention of the Lord towards His people. In this case, showing physical deliverance, right? The merciful use of His power and allowing the people that He called His own to benefit from it, right? We see Him, right, calling out His people. He smote Egypt for that reason and brought out Israel from among them. Right? His people, providing deliverance for His people. This is in a more, if creation is a general revelation, this would be more of a specific revelation to His people, showing Himself to them, right? And how He's doing it. Smiting Egypt, bringing them out, parting the Red Sea, drowning Pharaoh, that's merciful. Wiping out Og, king of Bashan, that's merciful. And Sihon, right? That's merciful? Well, who's it to? Who's it for? It's for His people, right? Even the bad things that we could think of, there's an interesting verse in here, I think it's 22. Yeah, right? 21 and 22, and He gave their land for inheritage, even a heritage to Israel, His servant, right? So this blessing, this merciful act that the Lord did by taking care of these kings and wiping them out for Israel and giving them their land as a heritage, who is this given to? It's given to His people Israel, His servant. So even the fact that Israel is His servant is merciful to them, is a benefit to them. Right? So the things that we have in our life, the jobs that we might have or might not have, that's the Lord's mercy. You don't know what is happening behind the scenes at your place of employment. Right? So the fact that you have that job, despite their best efforts, your company manages to stay in business. Right? Sometimes you lose that job. You don't know what's going on there or where the Lord wants you, so He takes you from there in His mercy and puts you someplace else. Sometimes does that take time? Yes, it does, right? But even in that, much like He took care of Israel, He takes care of us, His people, right? It may not be the way we want it, right? We are by nature more self-sufficient than we should be. Right? And like to take credit for things where credit doesn't belong because it's of the Lord. Right? And that's what's going on in these verses and how He wants you to expand how you think of Him and His mercy. And then we should be thanking Him for it. We remember the story of Israel when they came out, right? That was a good time that first night. And then a couple days in, there's like, wait a minute, there's no water. Well, where was the thankfulness? Right? They become demanding. They become complaining. They're like, well, you brought us out just to kill us. No. What's the Lord trying to do in our lives? He's trying to prove us. He's trying to make us stronger as Christians. He's trying to make us grow in our faith as Christians. Do we like that process? No, but guess what? It's His mercy, because it could be a lot worse, right? Okay, verses 23 and 24. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. So not only do we have a physical redemption in Him bringing Israel out from Egypt, but there's also spiritual redemption that happens here as well. He reveals that how through Him, through His redemption, we can also be His people, right? And these verses in this chapter sound very much like Romans chapter 5. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Right? And what was the definition of mercy again? Right? What does God have the right to do to us? To punish us, right? But what is mercy? Taking that, even though He has the right, and blessing us instead. So instead of punishing us, He redeems us. Instead of His wrath and hell, we get Him and heaven, right? And then we need to continue to remember that and then to thank Him for it. Lastly, verse 25, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. And we have daily providence. We have our daily providence through Him. And it's not just people, mind you. Because remember, the creation, we started off with the creation. Well, what's involved in creation? All the animals as well. We remember Matthew, right? Matthew and Luke, with the story of, you're of more value than many sparrows. But what does God also take care of? He takes care of those sparrows, right? Job tells us He takes care of the ravens. Psalms tells us He takes care of the beasts and lions, right? He gives them their daily food, just like He does us. And we should be thanking Him for it, right? Remembering those things that we have, He's given to us as His mercy, right? And we should be thanking Him for it. So through this whole chapter of Psalm 136, yes, we've gone quickly through it, but through this chapter, the Lord wants to expand how you think of Him and His mercy and the things that happen in our lives as His mercy towards us. And we should be looking for His merciful intention in our lives. And like it says several times in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Which then brings us to verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. And with that, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the brief time that we've had to look at Your word this evening. We thank You for putting Psalm 136 in there for us and telling us and hopefully ingraining in our minds, Lord, that Your mercy endures forever. Pray that You'd help us in looking for these things in our lives, Lord. And pray this in Christ's name. Amen.